Welcome back to The Culture Show. I'm Jared Bowen. We have been having an ongoing conversation on The Culture Show about making art more accessible, from whose stories are being told to the artists receiving a platform to reducing barriers to entry with initiatives like, I'll say it again, free museum admission. It's a conversation that Erica Wall has also been fostering at the Lunder Institute for American Art at Colby College in Maine, where, by the way, the Colby College Museum of Art is always free and has spectacular collections and exhibitions. Throughout the year, the Lunder Institute has provoked museums across the country with the question, what is the state of American art? The year-long undertaking culminated recently with a number of institutions gathering for a three-day public conversation. Joining us with both the highlights and revelations is Erica Wall, the director of the Lunder Institute for American Art. Welcome to The Culture Show.
Thank you, Jared. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. Even though you were rousing me as soon as you walked into the studio, I knew this was going to happen because I kept proclaiming, we have the answers to the state of American art. I know. There are no definitive answers. But how do you summarize what began to emerge out of these conversations?
Absolutely. You know, and to your point, as you had started, I do have answers. I think that the answers that people want, they want them to be more definitive. And we are in process. It's in progress. But that's what's so exciting about it. You know, when we engaged in this, we really wanted to start to think about, as a institute dedicated to American art, our charge is to reshape the contours of American art. So we have to know in real time what is going on within the art institutions that shape our understanding of the art that we interact with, right? Our first visits or interactions with art are at museums, usually in grade school. So what I was hoping was that we could have these institutions, art institutions, engage in internal conversations as well as external conversations to answer that question, not necessarily definitively, but to help inform and guide the things that are challenging them, how we engage audiences, how we stay relevant, what we do to make sure that people feel comfortable, make it accessible, more belonging. And so what we have really gathered is, I think, really what I'm excited about is that institutions feel like I have a space, but also now an opportunity to not just only engage in these conversations internally, but externally.
So, and to stop you there, so you have essentially curators maybe being honest with themselves about their museums, but you also have the community, patrons, visitors who are being unfiltered about what they see.
Absolutely. And, you know, the format of Lunder Institute at is we ask six institutions to engage in conversation to create a public program that would create some transparency around something that they were developing or dealing with so that they could be in conversation with the audience. So, for instance, looking at Crystal Bridges in Arkansas, they were really wanting to share with their audience the reinstallation of the entire museum. That is 100,000 plus square feet. And looking at the perspective of being more aware and sensitive to Indigenous perspective, thinking about where they are, but also being in conversation with artists in their collection about what work are we showing? How are we showing it? Historical as well as contemporary.
So I perfect example, because I just was at Crystal Bridges for the first time about a month ago.
Yeah.
And as you say, this is a major effort where a museum has to look inward and think, wait, not that the way they have been telling stories through art is wrong, but they could do better.
Absolutely. We are looking at expanding and broadening the representation of American art and how we are engaging in that conversation. And, you know, I think, Jared, what's most important for us to remember is that we created an opportunity for conversation internally and externally, but also that it prompts this continuous ability for curators, educators, art historians, and stakeholders within as well as outside of these institutions to come together.
Why is this happening?
Wow. Lunder Institute at is happening because I had a sense that there is a need. We do so much for so many people, and a lot of museums want to be everything to everyone. Yet we all have different challenges, but there are some that are similar between the DeYoung, the Broad in Los Angeles, the Whitney is always asking the American question. But right now, I think that we find that there is maybe we want to call it an evolution, a transition of those that we are trying to respond to and engage both inside the museum. I would say that what the staff that make up museums is diversifying at a wonderful rate, but that creates a certain evolution, but also the demographic that we are trying to maintain and engage is also changing too. So I don't think people are really privy to all of the challenges that are taking place for museums to do what they do. You walk into a gallery, it's a beautiful space. Do you really understand what's going on behind it? It's a white cube that has been curated. But what we wanted to do is really create this transparency around what that process is and to invite people to be in that conversation. I will say a great example of this and why the Lunder Institute did this is we were able to create an exhibition painted Our Bodies, Hearts, and Village, which was looking at Native and Indigenous work. But what was so amazing about it is that the interpretation and the labels were done in collaboration between curators and stakeholders, artists, culture bearers, both from the Native and Indigenous community, the academic community. It's giving me chills because that's not, you know, and I'm nerding out, but that is what we have not done in the past, and we can do that now.
This is one of the highlights that I saw. And by the way, we're speaking with Erica Wall, director of the Lunder Institute for American Art, an initiative of the Colby College Museum of Art in Maine, who just undertook this major comprehensive effort to have a conversation about the state of American art. But going back to what we were just saying, this is something that I noticed, that there was a look at should the museum be the final authority on presenting art? Should the curator be the final authority? Is that shifting? Because that is typically how it has been.
You're absolutely right. I think it's shifting because of the amazing curators that are creating these exhibitions. But it's shifting because there is evidence of the value and the benefit of including multiple voices. And understanding that in the way that we've talked about the state of American art evolving, it is in real time. When we involve different voices and different stakeholders, we can start to think about what has maybe been overlooked, omitted, but then what we can also highlight. But also, I think, you know, Jared, what I get really excited about are the intersections between disciplines, between cultures, between people. And the complexity of the American experience is very much rooted in identity. And we talk about that so much during the work that we do. And a lot of the Lunder Institute at programs, we're definitely delving into identity. The Addison Gallery at Andover, at Phillips Andover, talked about their acquisition policy and that they do not acquire artists who are not born in America. What does that mean? So we had a little conversation. Part of the symposium was around naturalization. What does that mean? What have been the policies historically that have put us in this place and created that kind of approach to acquisition and now how they have navigated around that? And these I think, are things that people don't know about, but when they do find out, are exceptionally excited and interested.
As museums began to grapple with these issues and recognizing that they want to change in some regard, did they talk about how or what change and the change process looks like?
Yes. I will say, and I'm sure you can imagine, it is a slow process. There is a lot of complexity to it in terms of what, as you've explained, what the history of museums and the structure has laid out and the understanding of what needs to change, but how and at what rate. And I think I will say a wonderful example of an institution right here in Boston, the MFA Boston. We hosted a convening through a Terra grant that they had acquired to talk about what the reinstallation of the Art of America's galleries will look like, especially in light of our upcoming anniversary.
The 250th of the
yes,
country, yes.
Right? And so Boston is a major part of our American history, but how do we celebrate that and how do those galleries represent that? So the MFA brought together their curators, but stakeholders from across the country and internationally to have open, candid conversations that really include an understanding of who each of these people are as curators, what they bring to it. And to be quite honest, Jared, I'm sure you can imagine, they just don't have that on a daily basis to create that space, that exchange, to be in a safe space to think of ideas that can be fertile, that some of which we do apply, some of which we don't. But to invite outside stakeholders too is huge.
So what is the tension for a museum? We won't be talking about the MFA specifically, but for a museum like the MFA, where for hundreds of years people have gone to see the Sargents and the Copleys and the Gilbert Stuarts, that is still part of the identity of the museum, but we're talking about evolution too. Can the two coexist?
Absolutely. The two can coexist because, as we said, it is not about inclusion at the expense of what exists. It's about broadening that understanding, incorporating those voices. I learned so much just if we were to look at our own history and to really incorporate, and that's where it's like, what is so amazing are the intersections, the connections between what we understand to be colonization and where it took place and what has led to this. And we, as ourselves, Lender Institute Ad, is looking at the transatlantic conversation. This did not just start here, right? It migrated here from a history of being on other continents and what has transpired. But I think what is, I will say, let us call it an opportunity rather than a challenge, because what is so amazing is that these institutions are willing to engage in this conversation and willing to actually create proof or evidence of having engaged in that conversation through their exhibitions.
Okay, so let me open a big one. This is my thing. I know I talk about it a lot, but it's important to talk about free admission, because we're talking about getting people into museums to experience the art. This is a fundamental part of this conversation. Is you can have all the change in the world, but if the people you're hoping to reflect the change for aren't there, then what's the point? So the Addison you mentioned is free, Colby is free, Crystal Bridges in Bentonville, Arkansas is free. When I was at Crystal Bridges on a Friday morning, it was filled with people, it was filled with energy. I know that had so much to do with it being free admission. Where does this stand with museums in terms of opening up access?
Yeah, I'd have to say I don't know one museum that is not, and I'm, don't quote me, but that is not at least created a day that is free, right? A day, an evening, and secured the funding to be able to do that. And I will say that, funding is obviously a part of what most museums are dealing with, but there are so many, and I think access is very important. But I think to your point around the importance of it, it is becoming more and more important as we start to think about the relevancy, the ability to sustain, not just financially, but socially within the community. All of these things are important. But to your point, I cannot think of one museum that doesn't have at least a free day or evening.
What about the leadership change that we're seeing across the country now, too? Do you think that there's going to be a sizable shift in what we feel in museums? Because it's as I look across the country anecdotally, even here in Boston, where we're about to have leadership change at the ICA, we've already had it at the Harvard Art Museums, we're about to have it at the Museum of Fine Arts. When you have a new crop of leaders who are coming in and presumably younger and thinking differently, I'm not casting any aspersions on the great leadership that we've had here, but the fortune of that is that new leaders get to build on the solid foundations that the current leaders have created. What happens then?
Yeah, I'm very encouraged by that. I feel that, it is an opportunity for this new leadership to really optimize that more diversified staff that they're coming in and being able to be a part of. But I think all of the institutions that you've mentioned and those that are also experiencing it are also understanding the greater need and benefit of engaging outside stakeholders and helping their leadership to be in conversation with them. I feel really encouraged, too, because it is an indication of, a changing of the guard, so to speak, in that I was thinking some of the leadership started their positions before there was internet, before there was email, all these things. And that's not to disparage any help, but the understanding that as we move forward, the technology creates more and more opportunity. The people who are, within the institutions now are creating more opportunity, and that the new leadership has that to work from. And to me, I feel that it is also going to be a testament to the extent to which museums are going to really invest in doing everything that you've described. But I feel very hopeful in that. But you know, from my perspective, I have the great fortune and honor of being a think tank to just gather all of these ideas and challenges and opportunities, and to share that with people to kind of generate and prompt what questions will help us move forward. That's an amazing space to be in. So don't quote me on all of it.
And this is, I'm going to be so cruel because we only have a minute left. So to offer this last question, I'm going to throw this at you because I think I know the answer, and it can be a short one.
Yeah.
Are museums prepared to deal with AI?
Oh, that's a really great question, Jared. You know what? I think that across the board, that's a difficult one to answer, but I can think of places that are. And I want to say that, you know, a lot of academic museums, I think, will be in the forefront and in the threshold because of the space in which they're in. And others may have to catch up. Obviously, comes to mind the List Center, MIT. But there are lots of other examples of that. But I think it is a question of when they will be able to, because it will be necessary.
Well, hopefully it'll be at the same time the rest of us catch up and the rest of us understand it. But they have a big task ahead of them, especially with the intersection of art.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And see, you had answers. I know you had answers.
Well, I'm glad I was able to do something along those lines, but I appreciate the time.
Erica Wall is the director of the Lunder Institute for American Art, an initiative of the Colby College Museum of Art in Waterville, Maine. Again, Colby is always free all the time. Thank you again so much for being here.